All I'm saying is, I don't like her. The waitress with the flyaway hair whispered. It was a loud whisper, easily overheard by the solitary customer in Pleasant's Coffee House. He wondered whether the her under discussion on this occasion was another waitress or a regular patron like himself. I don't have to like her, do I? You want to think different, you feel free. I thought she was nice enough, said the shorter waitress with the round face, sounding less certain than she had a few moments ago. That's how she is when her pride's taken a knock. Soon as she perks up, her tongue will start dripping poison again. It's the wrong way round. I've known plenty of her sort. Never trust them. What do you mean it's the wrong way round? Asked the round-faced waitress. Hercule Poirot, the only diner in the coffee house at just after 7:30 on this Thursday evening in February, knew what the waitress with the flyaway hair meant. He smiled to himself. It was not the first time she had made an astute observation.
Anyone can be forgiven for saying a sharp word when they're up against it. I've done it myself, I don't mind admitting. And when I'm happy, I want other folks to be happy. That's the way it should be. But then there's those like her, who treat you worst when things are going their way. Them's the ones you want to watch out for.
Bien vu, thought Hercule Poirot. De la vraie sagesse populaire. The door of the coffee shop flew open and banged against the wall. A woman, wearing a pale brown coat and a darker brown hat, stood in the doorway. She had fair hair. Poirot could not see her face. Her head was turned to look over her shoulder, as if she was waiting for someone to catch her up. A few seconds of the door standing open was long enough for the cold night air to drive out all the warmth from the small room. Normally this would have infuriated Poirot, but he was interested in the new arrival who had entered so dramatically and did not appear to care what impression she made. He placed his hand flat over the top of his coffee cup in the hope of preserving the warmth of his drink. This tiny, crooked-walled establishment in St. Gregory's Alley, in a part of London that was far from being the most salubrious, made the best coffee Poirot had tasted anywhere in the world. He would not usually drink a cup before his dinner as well as after it. Indeed, such a prospect would horrify him in ordinary circumstances. But every Thursday, when he came to Pleasance at 7:30 p.m. precisely, he made an exception to his rule. By now, he regarded this weekly exception as a little tradition. Other traditions of the coffee house he enjoyed rather less, positioning the cutlery, napkin and water glass correctly on his table, having arrived to find it all askew. The waitresses evidently believed it was sufficient for the items to be somewhere, anywhere, on the table. Poirot disagreed, and made a point of imposing order as soon as he arrived.
"Excuse me, miss, would you mind shutting the door if you're coming in?"
Flyaway Hare called out to the woman in the brown hat and coat, who was gripping the doorframe with one hand, still facing the street.
"Or even if you're not coming in, those of us in here don't want to freeze."
The woman stepped inside. She closed the door, but did not apologise for having left it open so long. Her jagged breathing could be heard across the room. She seemed not to notice that there were other people present. Poirot greeted her with a quiet good evening. She half turned towards him, but made no response. Her eyes were wide with alarm of an uncommon kind, powerful enough to take hold of a stranger, like a physical grip. Poirot no longer felt calm and contented as he had when he'd arrived. His peaceful mood was shattered. The woman hurried over to the window and peered out. She will not see whatever she looks for, Poirot thought to himself. Staring into the blackness of night from a well-lit room, it is impossible to see very much at all when the glass reflects only an image of the room you are in. Yet she continued to stare out for some time, seemingly determined to watch the street.
"Oh, it's you,"
said Flyaway Hare, a touch impatiently.
"What's the matter? Has something happened?"
The woman in the brown coat and hat turned round.
"No, I..."
The words came out as a sob. Then she managed to get herself under control. No.
May I take the table in the corner?
She pointed to the one furthest from the door to the street.
You're welcome to any table besides the one where the gentleman's sitting. They're all laid.
Having reminded herself of Poirot, Flyaway Hare said to him,
Your dinner's cooking nicely, sir.
Poirot was delighted to hear it. The food at Pleasance was almost as good as the coffee. Indeed, when he considered the two together, Poirot found it hard to believe what he knew to be the case, that everybody who worked in the kitchen here was English.
Incroyable.
Flyaway Hare turned back to the distressed woman.
You sure there's nothing wrong, Jenny? You look as if you've come face to face with the devil.
I'm all right, thank you. A cup of strong hot tea is all I need. My usual, please.
Jenny hurried over to the table in the far corner, passing Poirot without looking at him. He turned his chair slightly so that he could observe her. Most assuredly something was the matter with her. It was something she did not wish to discuss with the coffee-house waitresses, evidently. Without taking off her hat or coat, she sat down in a chair that faced away from the door to the street. But no sooner had she done so than she turned again and looked over her shoulder. Having the opportunity to examine her face in more detail, Poirot guessed that she was around 40 years of age. Her large blue eyes were wide and unblinking. They looked, Poirot reflected, as if there was a shocking sight before them. Face to face with the devil, as Flyaway Hare had remarked. Yet, as far as Poirot could see, there was no such sight for Jenny to behold, only the square room with its tables, chairs, wooden hat and coat stand in the corner, and its crooked shelves bearing the weight of many teapots of different colours, patterns and sizes. Those shelves, they were enough to make a person shudder. Poirot saw no reason why a warped shelf could not easily be replaced with a straight one, in the same way that he could not comprehend why anyone would place a fork on a square table and not ensure that it lay parallel to the straight line of the table's edge. However, not everyone had the ideas of Hercule Poirot. He had long ago accepted this, both the advantages and disadvantages it brought him. Twisted in her seat, the woman, Jenny, stared wildly at the door, as if expecting somebody to burst through it at any moment. She was trembling, perhaps partly from the cold. No, Poirot changed his mind, not at all from the cold. It was warm once again in the coffee house, and since Jenny was intent upon watching the door and yet had sat with her back to it and as far as possible from it, there was only one sensible conclusion to draw. Picking up his coffee cup, Poirot left his table and made his way over to where she sat. She wore no wedding ring on her finger, he noticed.
Will you permit me to join you for a short while, mademoiselle?
He would have liked to arrange her cutlery, napkin and water glass as he had his own, but he restrained himself.
Pardon? Yes, I suppose, sir.
Her tone revealed how little she cared. She was concerned only with the coffee-house door. She was still watching it avidly, still twisted in her chair.
I am pleased to introduce myself to you. My name is...
Poirot broke off. If he told her his name, Flyaway Hare and the other waitress would hear it, and he would no longer be their anonymous foreign gent, the retired policeman from the continent. The name Hercule Poirot had a powerful effect upon some people. Over the past few weeks, since he had entered into a most enjoyable state of hibernation, Poirot had experienced, for the first time in an age, the relief of being nobody in particular. It could not have been more apparent that Jenny was not interested in his name or his presence. A tear had escaped from the corner of her eye and was making its way down her cheek.
Mademoiselle Jenny, Poirot said, hoping that by using her Christian name he might have more luck in getting her attention.
I used to be a policeman. I am retired now, but before I retired, in my work I encountered many people in states of agitation, similar to the one that you are in now.
I do not mean those who were unhappy, though they are abundant in every country. No, I am talking about people who believed themselves to be in danger. At last he had made an impression. Jenny fixed her wide, frightened eyes on him.
A policeman.
Oui. I retired many years ago, but...
So, in London you can't do anything? You can't...
I mean, you have no power here to arrest criminals or anything like that. That is correct. Poirot smiled at her. In London, I am an elderly gentleman enjoying his retirement.